You'll be glad to know we're not going to cover the whole psalm this morning. But you probably knew that. We just have a few sections to go over, and even that'll be tough. There's so many good verses here. It's just amazing. I tell you, when it comes to memorizing God's Word, there's a bunch of them right in here that'd be good to commit to memory if you haven't already. And we'll talk about some of those things this morning. Before we get into the lesson, let's ask the Lord to bless this time. Our Father, we are again thankful for all the good things You've done for us and given to us, Lord. And we're thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to open Your Word this morning. We pray that You'd bless the Sunday school hour, Father, not only this class, but all the classes. Father, would You teach us from Your Word the things that You'd have us to learn? What a great passage of Scripture this is this morning. We pray that You might just work in our hearts and lives and just, again, teach us what You'd have us to learn this morning. Bless in this class and all the classes and meet needs during this hour. And Lord, for the service to follow, we pray that Your hand of blessing might be upon it. May Your Word go forth in power, and may You do a work in our midst this morning. And we'll thank You for it. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. Well, if you've been saved any length of time and spent very much time in the Word of God, you know Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And one doesn't have to read very far to realize the theme of that chapter. I mean, the theme of that thing is just the Word of God. I think just over and over, almost practically every verse has something in there about the Word of God. And there's some unique features of this chapter. For one thing, the chapter is divided up into sections. You won't find any other chapter in the Word of God that's divided up like Psalm 119 is divided up. Each section has a heading for a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You know, the first section there, if you look, it says Aleph. There, that's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The next one is Beth and so forth. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and there's 22 sections in Psalm 119. Each section represents a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each section has exactly 8 verses in there. And that's a pretty unique thing. 8 times 22 gives you the 176 verses that are found in this chapter. But the really interesting thing is that if there's 176 verses, and there is, that's 16 times 11. 16 times 11. That's when your Bible was published, 1611. See, if you have the right Bible. If you have the wrong one, well, then you got some problems there. You know, that's probably just a coincidence. You know, just happened that way, you know. It's also a coincidence that your King James Bible has 31,102 verses in it. And since that's an even number, you can't find a middle verse. You have to find the two middle verses. There's 2 verses that make up the middle of your Bible. Now, in order to find the first verse, you have to go 1,611 verses into the book of Psalms to find that first verse. That's just a coincidence too, 1611. And it's just a coincidence that it doesn't work in the NIV because they take verses out, you know. So there's not 31,102 in there, you know. That's just a coincidence. There's nothing to it. It's just interesting, you know. But anyway, let's take a look at this chapter. Look at verses 1 through 8 here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Well, I was shocked to find that the word undefiled only occurs 7 times in the entire Bible. You know, I thought that surely it occurred more than that, but I ran that thing. It's only 7 times. Of course, 7 is a pretty good number. Of course, the word defiled is in there a whole lot more, but undefiled only 7 times. And the Lord says something interesting about being defiled and so forth in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4, where it says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled, they're undefiled, they have not defiled their garment, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. These folks were undefiled, and their reward was to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God. And of course, verse 1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Well, now this psalm has a number of words and phrases that have a connection to the Word of God. And you saw a number of those things as we read through verses 1 through 8 here this morning. You have things like thy law, and thy precepts, and thy commandments, and thy righteous judgments, and thy statutes, and thy testimonies, and thy word, and thy words. You know, all of these things have a connection to the Word of God, and they all refer to the Word of God, and they probably have some distinction and some difference between all of them, but they are all refer to the Word of God and look at the Word of God in a particular way. Now, you can't help but read through this chapter and many, many, many other places in the Word of God without being impressed that the author of not only this psalm, but the Word of God assumes that the Word of God is available to the reader. There's just an assumption there that you just can't get away from. For example, in verse 2, the Word of God can be kept. You can keep the Word of God. So it must be available. It can be respected in verse 6. And in verse 7, it can be learned. You can't learn it if it's not available. See, I say that because a lot of the scholars out there say, well, the Word of God is just the original autograph. See, that's the only inspired Word of God. What we have, just a copy. It's just a translation, you know. And no translation is the inspired Word of God. They don't believe you have anything available like that. And yet, the Word of God just assumes that it is available. Well, let's look at verses 9 through 18. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Well, verse 9 is obviously addressed to young men, and the stated way to cleanse a young man's sinful way is by paying attention to the Word of God. Amen. That's how it's done. Now, if we're to believe, you know, again, many of the fundamentalists and the Bible scholars, a young man just out of luck if he is dependent upon heeding the Word of God, because the Word of God isn't available. See? That's what they teach. See? Well, no, you know, they just don't think anything like that is available on this earth. Of course, one of the best examples of this verse, you know, a young man cleansing his way, is found in the story that the Lord Jesus Christ told of the prodigal son. And that boy was the younger son. The younger son. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the younger son that said, Dad, you know, give me what belongs to me. Give me my inheritance, you know. And it wasn't long he set out for the far country. You know, wasted his substance and riotous living, ended up in the pig pen. There's a Jewish boy ends up in a pig pen. You talk about making a mess of your life. That guy made a mess of his life. He ended up in the pig pen. And you know what the Bible said about that young man? The Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. See, that young man realized that he had to repent of his sins and ask his Father to forgive him. That's heeding the Word of God. That's how that young man cleansed his ways. Well, verse 10 connects the blessed man in verse 2 to David. Verse 2 says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." And now verse 10 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." So, David must be that blessed man up there in verse 2. And so it is with all those that seek the Lord with their whole heart. Now, the psalmist acknowledges a propensity to wander from the Word of God. But you and I don't have a problem with that, do we? Verse 2 says, verse 10 says, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." I think it was the hymn writer back in the late 1700s, that wrote, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be, let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above." I'm just prone to wander. And David acknowledges that problem. Now verse 11 is one of those great memory verses found in this chapter. Verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And of course there's a number of great things that have been said about this verse. Someone said this, "This book will keep me from sin," or "Sin will keep me from this book." It's one of those two things. So we just take our choice when it comes to those things. Have you ever noticed the pressure associated with reading that book? There's pressure. There's always something that pops up, some kind of distraction that happens, or something that just, you know, just something's always there to try to keep you from spending time with that thing. Always something. There's pressure. Someone doesn't want you to spend time in that book. Now again, if we're going to take that verse seriously, we have to recognize that the Word of God is available. "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart." Amen. How can you hide God's Word in your heart if you don't have God's Word? I mean, it's just an assumption all the way through here. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 says, and again, see, it's not just in Psalm 119. It's all the way through there. Romans 10 verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." It's nigh thee. The word of God is nigh thee. It's not up in heaven saved in the original manuscript somewhere like they teach, you know. It's nigh thee. It's close to you. It's right there. And of course, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul said that the good soldier of Jesus Christ is to take some armor. And he says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." He told, that's a commandment for you to take the Word of God. And the scholar says, it's not available to you. It's, you know, it's up in heaven somewhere. It's preserved up there, but it's not preserved down here. You can't get to it, you know. That's not what Paul taught. It's available. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Finally, the primary purpose for memorizing God's word is that I might not sin against thee. That's the purpose for that thing. I guess some people memorize for the wrong reasons. I've known people who've memorized, you know, the whole New Testament and a good portion of the Old Testament, you know. End up a mess, some of those people. They still know it. They learned it from the King James Bible. What's the problem? Well, they didn't memorize it to keep them from sin. They had another reason. They had a motivation to look smart or something, you know, or impress people, or whatever the motive was, it wasn't to keep them from sin, or they wouldn't get in the mess they got into, you know. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with the devil in the wilderness, he kept saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written," and according to the Scripture. That's the purpose for memorization, is to keep us from sin. How many of us really spend much time memorizing God's Word, you know? Don't we kind of put that in the back burner, you know? Well, I'm doing pretty good just to read the Word of God, you know, or maybe study it a little bit. But memorizing it, see, that takes some work. That takes some effort. I wonder if it's just because we like our sin too much, you know. Well, verse 16 is one of those good resolutions. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Well, that'd be a good one to make every year, wouldn't it? You know, if you want to have a New Year's resolution, that'd be a good one to make. I will not forget thy word. Maybe that ought to be made every day, though, you know. I will not forget thy word. I've seen folks forget it, you know. They forget to read it. They forget to meditate on it. They forget to memorize it. They forget to study it. They forget all of that stuff. Well, verse 18 is a great verse to honestly pray before you open that book. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I remember when I discovered that verse and started putting it into practice, you know. Man, what a difference that makes. You know? Now, there's some important things that honestly praying, verse 18, before you get in that book, will do for you as far as it acknowledges some things. It acknowledges that we can't understand the things in this book on our own. Amen. It has to be opened to us. A good IQ is not a prerequisite for learning that book. You can have a great IQ, but not know that book. I know some folks who got great IQs. They don't know that book. And they claim to be Christians, and they claim to be this or that. They may even be considered Bible scholars. They don't really know that book. You know. They know some trivia about the book, and that's about all they know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Not intellectually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. So you have to have the eyes of your understanding opened up in order to be able to understand that book. And so there's an acknowledgement that we are unable to really understand God's Word unless He opens it up to us. And the prayer also acknowledges a dependency upon God. Open thou mine eyes. Those eyes aren't opened by the Catholic Church. They're not opened by the Bible scholars. They're not opened by education, you know. Today, education's the answer to everything, you know. You want to know the Bible, get an education. Well, education might be good in some ways, but you know what you need more than anything? You need God to open your eyes, that you might behold wondrous things out of thy law. That book is opened up by the third member of the Trinity. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Well, the truth that He'll guide us into is defined by the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17 and verse 17, where it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So He'll lead and guide you into all truth, and God's word is truth. Well, you can't emphasize enough the role of the heart in all of that. You can pray that prayer, but if the heart isn't right, see, it's not going to do you any good. If your heart is filled with unbelief and doubts about the Word of God, you can pray that prayer till you're blue in the face, and it's not going to help you any. You're not going to learn anything about the Word of God. It's not going to open your eyes to anything. You have to have a heart of belief before that happens. the best Bible teachers are always those who believe what God said. When they don't understand a verse or passage, they don't alter it to fit their understanding. You know? Well, in the Greek it means this, or in the Hebrew it says this, and well, that has to mean this and not what really says there, or, you know, always that kind of business going on. Folks lower the Word of God down to a level where they can understand it, where it fits what they think it says, instead of praying to the author for wisdom, guidance, and leadership in that business. Well, let's skip down to verse 89. And we'll look at verses 89 through 105 here. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances. For all are Thy servants. Unless Thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine iniquity. I will never forget Thy precepts, for with them Thou hast quickened me. I am Thine, save me, for I have sought Thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider Thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but Thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love Thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through Thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep Thy precepts. I have refrained my foot from every evil way, that I might keep Thy word. I have not departed from Thy judgments, for Thou hast taught me. How sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through Thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Well, verse 89 is another great verse. That book is settled in heaven. I like the bumper sticker that says, God said it, and that settles it. He said it, so it's done, it's settled. You know, there's no question about it. There don't have to be any doubts about the Word of God. It's settled. It doesn't matter what educated folks say. It works the way God said it works. That's it. It's done. And verse 98 and 99 are favorite verses, you know, with high school kids. I mean, I remember when I discovered verse 99, you know. That was a good day. You know, I have more understanding than all my teachers, you know. It quickly became my life's verse, you know. Well, the ironic part is that it's the Word of God that makes that verse true. That's what makes the difference. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that gives us understanding, and we'll look at that in a little bit. This verse applies to, you know, sitting in the science class where they're teaching evolution, you know. Or you're watching a science documentary, you know, and they're giving you the evolutionary slant to that thing. I have more understanding than all my teachers, see. It's not that we're smarter than those folks. It's just that we have more understanding because the Word of God has shed light on the subject, see. Not that we're just, you know, high and mighty. Just God's given us some truth about that thing, and so we have more understanding than all our teachers, you know. That thing works in the Bible class when the professor, the teacher, or the preacher corrects that book. I have more understanding than all my teachers when they do that kind of stuff. It works in the sociology class when somebody claims, you know, that a solution to poverty and famine and war and disease can be found if, you know, man will just work together and, you know, United Nations working on this planet. No, it won't. I have more understanding than all my teachers when it comes to that kind of stuff. Now, it works in ethics and philosophy classes and all the other educated attempts to correct and overthrow and ignore and denigrate the Word of God. I'm more understanding than all my teachers when it comes to those things. Well, the Word of God is likened to a lamp and a light in verses 105 there, or verse 105. Now, there's a number of kinds of lights or lamps out there. One thing, there are reading lamps. Now, there are lamps designed just for reading. You know, that's the sole purpose of those things. Or the primary purpose, I should say. They're designed to shed light on what's being read. You know, the Word of God is the best reading material you ever pick up. It doesn't get any better than the Word of God. No other book is like the Bible. All other books are dead and eventually need to be updated and changed to accommodate the latest research, you know. All other books fit into that category. I remember one time they said that the most perishable thing on this earth was a newspaper. You have to get a new one every day. The previous one's just worthless, you know. I guess you could file it away, archive it somewhere. It might be good for history, but, you know, as far as the latest and greatest stuff, it's dead. It's dead. Now, books on technology, they hardly will print books on technology because the thing just changes all the time. You know, by the time you get the book printed, something new has come out and it's outdated and it's no good anymore. It's dead. Right? Science materials, man, they don't teach anything, from old science tech. The thing just changes constantly. When I was in school, in public school, in elementary school, they were teaching us that the universe is 4.5 billion years old. I don't know, they're up to 11, 13, 18 billion years now. You know, they don't teach 4.5 anymore. It had to be updated. It had to be changed, you know. It's dead. You imagine going to medical school and having textbooks that, you know, go back to the early 1900s. Well, those things are dead, you know. You got to get something new. You got to update it. But not this book. This book's different. This book right here has been around for almost 400 years. I've not found anything in there that needed to be updated or changed. Still good as far as I can tell. You know what Isaiah 34, verse 16 says? It says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." That's an old book. It had been around for a while. They just left it alone. It was gathering dust in there. And the Lord says, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read." He didn't say, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and update it so you can understand it." He said, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want or mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them." Well, the book is like a lamp. It's like a reading lamp. You know, there are heat lamps. I remember, you know, growing up on a farm, we used to use heat lamps, you know. Pigs would have a litter, you know, and put a heat lamp over there, they'd run over there and get under the heat lamp right away, get warm. I have a heat lamp at work. I don't know what it is, but in our office, the air conditioner runs year-round. Year-round. I mean, winter doesn't matter, summer, year-round, that thing runs. My hands freeze to death. Of course, I sit there at an office, you know, in a desk, you know, all day long. Just freezes. Finally, I figured out the best thing I could do is just get a reading lamp and take the gooseneck and just bend it down right where my mouse is at, you know, about 4 inches away. Keep my hand nice and warm. It's a heat lamp, you know. Everybody laughs at me when they come in my office, but, you know, at least my hand is warm. In Luke chapter 24, verse 32, a couple of folks had been walking along the road, and they had been joined by a visitor, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, some things happened along the way, and after it was all said and done, the Bible says in verse 32 of Luke 24, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? That thing warms your heart, you know, does something to you, keeps you warm. Now, there's also trouble lights. I guess mechanics know what those things are. Trouble lights, you know. You turn those things on and you can see where the trouble is at. You can illuminate the area where the problem is. I guess to some extent doctors and dentists use the same kind of thing. They probably don't call it trouble lights there, but same situation, see. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, David says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know how God searches you? He searches you with that book. You know? The Bible says this book is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That book's like a trouble light. And the searchlights, there's searchlights out there. Searchlights are designed to rescue folks that are in trouble. And so it is with the Word of God. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know, there's safety lights too. Safety lights. These lights either stay on all the time or, you know, they come on during an emergency. I guess we have some safety lights here in our auditorium in case the power goes out, you know. They're designed to keep people from getting injured during an emergency. Leviticus chapter 25 verse 18 says, wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. Safety. That word is designed to keep you safe. Well, there's traveler's lights. Lights designed for folks who are traveling. You know, they illuminate streets, roads, interstates. They reveal signs and anything else that a traveler might need to know on their journey. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 19 says, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to shed or to show them light and the way wherein they should go. God's interested in directing us along the way and to illuminate the path of our journey. Well, there's also night lights. These lights are not powerful, but they let you know where you are or where you're going. Night lights. Luke chapter 8 and verse 16 says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Let's quickly, you go on and on, I'm sure, with all these illustrations of lamps and lights. But for sake of time, let's look at verses 129 through 140 here. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy commandments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forsaken thy words. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. I know I've said this many times before, but boy, verse 130 has absolutely nothing to do with you or me entering into that book. It has everything with that to do with that book entering into us. If that book gets in us, that's what'll make the difference. Well, how do you get that book in you? Well, obviously memorizing is one way to get the book in. Verse 11, we talked about that. Another way is meditating on that book. I guess, you know, memorizing is another way to meditate. I mean, you have to meditate on the verse to get it into your memory too, you know. So you can do both of those things at the same time. But, you know, those are at least two ways to get that thing in you. By the way, the words meditate and or meditation occur exactly seven times in Psalm 119. Well, verse 133, David prays for the Lord to order my steps in thy word. And that connects with Psalm 37, verse 23, which says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Well, verse 140. All right, there's just so many good verses, you just can't, hit them all. But 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Well, God's holy word is very pure, very pure. Harold Rawlings, the former pastor of Landmark Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, says that the King James Bible is accurate in most of its renderings. But it's still okay, you know, to call it, and a number of other new versions out there, it's okay to call it the Word of God, even though there's still a few problems there. Well, apparently he disagrees with David, who said, thy word is very pure. Very pure. You know why God's word is very pure? Turn to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. And we'll end right here this morning. Psalm 12. Verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And the next verse, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That's why they're very pure. They've been purified seven times. Thy word is very pure. You spend any time with a very pure book? Are you studying it, reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it? If not, you should be, because it's quite a book. No other book like it. It's a living book. All other books need to be changed and updated and all that other stuff, but not this book. It's different. All right, we'll leave it right there for today.